Hello. You're about to listen to one of our audio-only webcasts, which was taken from one of our popular video webcasts. We'd love to get your feedback on how valuable and effective this format is for you. After you listen, please take a couple minutes and go to www.webcastaudio/survey to complete a quick evaluation. That's webcastaudio.com/survey. Thanks for the feedback and enjoy this podcast.
Again, I'd like to welcome everyone to today's IT Manager webcast, How Microsoft Does IT, Creating a Single Sign-On Payroll Experience Using Active Directory Federation Services. And now, without any further delay, I'm going to turn the floor over to today's presenter, Murthy Papu.
Thanks, Tracy. Hello, everybody. As Tracy mentioned, my name is Murthy Papu, and I'm a lead program manager at Microsoft, specifically in the finance IT organization. And today, what we're going to be talking about is, who is finance IT? What does finance IT do within Microsoft? What is the situation or the problem that we are trying to solve? And I'm sure many of you on the webcast will identify with that problem. And we're going to also talk about what are the solutions that we came up with and how was it implemented. And finally, we're going to be talking about some of the benefits of implementing the solution and some best practices that we thought would be very useful for anybody out there who's looking at implementing a similar solution. So what is finance IT? Finance IT, or FIT as we popularly call it within Microsoft, which is part of Microsoft IT, is the organization that supports all the financial systems within Microsoft. FIT, as we popularly call it, sits as an umbrella over 200 applications that support many customer groups within Microsoft, including corporate services, headcount, payroll, finance, compliance, and tax, audit, and treasury. And finance IT's mission is to support these customer groups by maintaining and developing enterprise-level applications to keep Microsoft Finance a world-class organization. To give you an example of the application that Finance supports, we have an internal application here called MARS, or Microsoft Accounting Reporting System. MARS is a warehouse of financial data that is used to build Microsoft financial statements, and it also includes 10Q and 10K filing for SEC, the quarterly and yearly earnings report that goes out to the streets, and it also includes income statements and balance sheets. And as you would expect, it's all built on Microsoft technologies. And for an application that's so critical, we also do a lot of dog fooding of our own SQL products. So moving on, situation or the problem that we are trying to solve. So early last year, as part of streamlining some of the business processes within the finance organization, Microsoft made a strategic decision to outsource its payroll processing to a third-party vendor called ADP, or Automatic Data Processing. This basically meant that for employees to access their payslip, they had to log in into an external portal site that was managed and owned by ADP. As a result, the business came to finance IT organization requesting for a solution that would not require the users to have to remember an additional set of username and password for accessing the portal site. So what finance IT needed to do was to create a solution that would allow Microsoft employees that are connected to the corporate network the ability to access the web-based ADP corporate portal site without a separate logon. So once the user is on the corpnet, their experience should be seamless, as though they were accessing any other application within the corpnet or the Microsoft intranet. And even if the user was not on the corpnet and wanted to access his payslip by directly entering the portal URL, they should still be able to do that with their existing Microsoft credentials and do not have to provide a different set of credentials. And also, we wanted to make sure that the solution that we come up with was easy to deploy and manage. So, unfortunately, due to the nature of the information that this application or the portal stores, we won't be able to show an actual demo. But what we have is some screenshot that will basically give you an user experience of what the situation would look like. So what you see is a screenshot of an internal HR portal site at Microsoft that a user accesses when logged into the Microsoft corporate network. In this case, when the user is connected to the Microsoft domain, he or she is already authenticated onto the network and can see all the internet applications. So when the user wants to see his or her payslip, he clicks on the View Payslip link. And then the user clicks on that link, the expectation is that he or she will be automatically able to access the payslip. But instead, what the user sees is a login screen. So what you see is the ADP login screen. And in this screen, the user has to again enter a different set of username and password to access the payslip. It would have been great if the user was able to access the payslip directly without having to go through this additional step. Look at architecture. From an architecture perspective, the situation was similar to any web application that requires login credentials. User clicks on a link or taps in the URL for the portal site. When the login screen is displayed, the user enters the username and password. The login information is then sent via SSL or secure socket layer to the ADP server for authentication and authorization. The first step in the process is for the user to get authenticated against the ADP portal. And then once authentication is completed, the user is authorized to make sure that he's the right person to actually view the payslip. And once both authentication and authorization are completed, the user is able to access his payslip. This is similar to any web application that needs authentication and authorization. And the only difference is now user has to still enter a separate set of user and password. And again, different organizations have different set of rules for password creation and maintenance. So what are the challenges with this situation? So why was this a problem for us? First, Microsoft employees had to provide a separate set of login information to access the ADP employee portal to view their payslip. And as I mentioned earlier, every organization has its own standards of how they manage and distribute passwords. And from Microsoft's perspective, the ADP's password reset and retrieval process did not meet their security standards. Specifically, some of the issues that we saw were initial passwords were emailed to customers, and this was a big security issue at Microsoft. A password reset was set for 180 days, as opposed to 90 days that is required by Microsoft. ADP stores only the last 3 passwords used, whereas Microsoft requires last 20 password history to be stored and not reused. And in case a user forgot the password, then they had to actually call in the ADP support call center and request for a new password, which would again be emailed to the user. If you look at it from a user perspective and Microsoft perspective, the support costs also be tremendous when we have more and more users being onboarded to the solution. So overall, from both security and user experience standpoint, it was not an ideal situation. And I'm sure many of you on the webcast will identify with this situation, and it's not unique to Microsoft. And this is a problem that many of us are trying to solve. So what we're specifically looking for is authentication across different domains and systems across the web, or what we call as popularly the web sign-on or web SSO. So what is the solution? Well, the solution was to implement a single sign-on user experience by creating a solution that consisted of both Microsoft and a third-party software. Of course, using Microsoft technology was an obvious choice with ADFS or the Active Directory Federation Services, which was introduced in Windows Server 2003. Which helps you establish trust relationships and reduces the need for provisioning user accounts or managing additional separate accounts for users. And one of the main requirements, solutions had to be easy to deploy and manage. And it also needed to leverage Microsoft technologies, and it had to meet our Microsoft security standards. So the technologies that we used in the solution was Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS as we popularly call it, with Active Directory, Windows Server 2003, and Windows Server 2008. Since ADP uses SAP, and SAP doesn't support the protocol used by ADFS, we had to look for a third-party tool that serves as a transformation point, talking WS Fed Assertion or Web Services Federation Assertion tokens to our ADFS server, SAML protocol or Security and Markup Language protocol to the SAP servers. And that's where the ping identity comes. And the technology that we had to use was software called Ping Federate from Ping Identity. So what is ADFS? So just to give a quick refresher, Active Directory Federation Services, or ADFS, is a component in Windows Server 2003 and Windows Server 2008, provides a web single sign-on technology to authenticate a user to multiple web applications over the life of a single online session. And ADFS accomplishes this by securely sharing digital identity, entitlement rights, or popularly called as claims, across security and enterprise boundaries. So what you'd see here is the high-level architecture of how the solution was implemented. The solution basically consists of a Ping Federate cluster that was installed and configured at ADP that consumes WS Fed or Web Services Federation assertion tokens from Microsoft's ADFS server. Once the Ping Federate receives the WS Fed assertion token, it validates those tokens, and upon validation, redirects the user to initiate a SAML SSO request to SAP. A SAML, which stands for Security Assertion Markup Language, is an XML standard for exchanging authentication and authorization data between deep security domains. That is, between an identity provider, which is basically a producer of assertion, in this case, the Microsoft ADFS server, the service provider, consumer of assertion. In this case is the ping federate or ping identity. And then SAP via a backend protocol to ping federate validates the SAML artifact. And once it's able to validate the SAML artifact, it establishes a session for user on the SAP server. So from a process standpoint, if you look at it, step one here, assuming that user is currently logged in to the Microsoft intranet and tries to access the ESS portal for accessing his payslip, clicks on the link within the intranet application. The user clicks on the link, a request is sent to the ADP ping federate server, requesting to initiate a single sign-on session. Based on the configuration within the ping federate server, it determines that the request is coming from Microsoft, tries to retrieve the AWS federate session tokens from the Microsoft ADFS server. The ADFS server, once it gets the request for a validation, it sends a user ID as part of the token after it validates it within the Microsoft domain. The user ID that is sent as part of the session token could be any attribute that's configured within the Active Directory. It could be an user alias, it could be a last name, first name, or it could also be a concatenation of multiple fields depending on what the system needs for authentication. So for example, if you determine that user alias is the field that you need for authentication and authorization on the SAP environment, then ADFS can actually send that value as part of the AWS Fed Assertion token. And once ADFS sends a valid AWS Fed Assertion token to ping federate, it validates the token and then generates a SAML or SA security assertion markup language artifact, which has to be then authenticated by the SAP server. What SAP does for authentication is it sends via a backend SOAP protocol to the ping federate. Once ping federate validates the SAML artifact, it establishes a session for user within this SAP server. And once authenticated, the user ID that was sent as part of the AWS Fed Assertion token, the SAP uses that user ID to authorize the user the session, and then user is able to actually view the payslip. So from a user perspective, if you look at it, everything that happens is behind the scene. So user experience is basically he logs in, he clicks on the link, and he's able to view his payslip. He doesn't have to remember any additional username or password. So that was the technical implementation of how the solution was implemented using ping federate ADSS technologies. So how did we go about implementing the single sign-on? If you look at it, the actual process of implementation, technical implementation is not a big one, but it's the entire process of how we got about getting to that solution. So the first step, based on the business or user needs, security requirements, once we determined that SSO had to be implemented, the first steps was to put together a team of experts from Microsoft and ADP to brainstorm options of how SSO can be implemented. What we did was we put together the identity management and the federated services team within Microsoft, and they worked with ADP to evaluate various options. And based on those meetings, it was determined that using ADFS would be a preferred approach for both ADP and Microsoft. But that basically meant that we required a third-party tool that will talk between the ADFS server and the ADP SAP servers for authenticating the credentials. So based on that, what we did was we identified a couple of vendors who had that solution. We went through an evaluation process before we made a decision of going with Ping Identity. And one of the reasons for going with Ping Identity was integration with ADFS. It was kind of an out-of-box solution. It was very easy to deploy, manage, and configure. So once we decided on the third-party vendor that had the solution, out-of-the-box solution for us to implement single sign-on, the next step in the process, create a proof of concept. The proof of concept was very important to ensure that our theory of that the solution will work would actually work. And in order to implement the POC, we basically went ahead and purchased a new set of hardware for installing and configuring identities. And the idea behind that was if the solution works, then we don't have to have a separate go through the process of purchasing the hardware. We could reuse all the installation of the software from ADP and the ping for the production installation also. So once the installation and configuration was completed for the POC, a clear and detailed testing plan was created. The users identified to perform this test, which is very critical for the success of the POC. We need to make sure that users are able to access their payslip and able to have a seamless sign-on. And as part of the POC, the team also identified a set of success criteria for the POC, would then determine whether our proof of concept is successful or not. So, and that is very critical to make sure that it's not just the installation and configuration of the software, but also that it meets some of our user requirements and ensure that the solution actually works the way we intended it to. And then finally, the testing was conducted for a period of 2 weeks. And all the results gathered and compared with the success criteria. Now, the testing for 2 weeks is a decision that depends on how many users you want to be included in the test, geographical location of the testers. It could range anywhere from a week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks, depending on the comfort level of the team. So upon completion of testing, we basically came out with a detailed rollout plan, how this would be done in production. And based on the project plan, then the project was rolled out and the installation was done in the production environment. So what you see now is the user experience after single sign-on is implemented. So now again, we have the user, same user, back in the Microsoft corporate network, trying to access his or her payslip. The person comes in, looks at, clicks on the view payslip link, and this time what they get is this, which basically they're logged in to the payslip application. And as you can see, there is no other username password screen. There is no intermediate step. Users do not have to have their username and password every time they want to log in. It's basically tied to their Microsoft credentials. And once they are on the Microsoft corporate network, they can access their payslip directly as if they're accessing any other intranet application. So what were some of the lessons learned or best practices from this implementation? First and the foremost was create a proof of concept. This is very, very, very important. I cannot stress this enough. Not only helps validate that the solution being implemented is the right one, also helps in identifying potential issues early in the process, which in turn reduces your actual implementation to production. In fact, in most cases, it just makes it a non-event because you're able to identify all your issues, pitfalls, you're doing the proof of concept. You're able to fix those before you go into your production implementation. And as I mentioned earlier, it's very important to have a clearly defined success criteria for proof of concept. For example, in our case, when we did the proof of concept, some of our success criteria was to validate that Pink Fabric can install on the ADP server successfully, validate that Pink Fabric is capable of consuming WS Fed assertions as we expect from the Microsoft ADFS server. It can establish a session for the user on the ADP. We wanted to validate that upon establishment of the session in SAP, the user will be able to access their payroll information on the portal side. We wanted to also validate that users are able to access only their information or only their payslip. So as I mentioned earlier, there are two parts to the entire authentication process. You have authentication and authorization. So we wanted to make sure that it's not just the authentication piece that works, but also the authorization wherein users are authorized to view only their payslips. And finally, we also wanted to validate that Federate and the ADP ES portal is actually capable of handling heavy loads. So we had load and performance testing also as part of our test plan, included that in validating the POC. So these are some of the criteria that we use, and depending on this particular implementation, the validation criteria could be different. But it's very important to have a detailed success criteria for the POC. And once completed our POC, is the actual production implementation just a few hours. It wasn't even a matter of days, it was just a matter of few hours to have the complete configuration done and completed. The second important thing that we learned was to develop a good support model. This is especially important at the beginning of the implementation. We have new users that are onboarding and are not very clear about where to go to address the issues. This also becomes very important when we have different groups work across different companies to implement this solution, to where the users go if they have issues. So it's very clear to have a clearly defined support model between Microsoft, ADP, and Ping, in addition to a good support model for our business and our users. The third one which we thought was really important was to have hardware in place and have enough lead time to acquire that hardware. This is very important, again, as many of you would know, acquiring hardware takes a lot of time. If implementation of this is critical and time-consuming or it's time-dependent, then it's very critical that we have time given to acquire the hardware. Depending on how the implementation is, the POC could also be dependent on acquiring the hardware. That's one of the things that we ran into where we were implementing the POC. We needed the hardware, and that was the time there. It basically took quite some time for us before we could go to implement the POC. And of course, choosing the right technology is very important. In our case, it was a pretty simple decision because ADFS had all the technological requirements that we needed for implementing SSO. And based on the option that we came up with, we also found a third-party solution which would actually fit very well with our implementation. One of the other lessons learned that it's not up on the screen, but it's very important is to have a very good communication plan. This is, again, very important if your teams are geographically placed. So clear-cut communication plan roles and clearly defined roles and responsibilities is very critical from the implementation standpoint. And if you look at some of these lessons learned and best practices, you may not be seeing many of the things from a technical perspective. The reason being, from a technical implementation standpoint, it's pretty straightforward. It was an out-of-the-box solution from PingFederate, integrated very well with ADFS, and like I said, it just took a few hours. But all these best practices and lessons learned are how to get there, which is very critical. And of course, last but not the least is to use a successful implementation as a model for other projects. We're hoping that what you see here would actually help many of you to look at implementing the solution and use some of the best practices and the lessons learned for your implementation. So what are the benefits of the solutions that we came up with? Well, the first was the selected third-party applications and the Microsoft product ADSS worked with a minimum of customization. As I mentioned earlier, it was just an out-of-the-box solution for us. The technical implementation, all it took was a little bit configuration of the PingFederate software on the ADP server, and then few configuration steps on the ADSS server and the PingFederate. That's all what it was. Like I said, it was a matter of a few hours. So that really worked well for us. The second benefit, which I think was one of the most important ones, was better user experience. Employees did not have to provide any login information when accessing the pay stub. And this becomes even more important, especially when you consider you have a very big organization with a few thousand employees. So to manage their username and passwords, support costs associated with it, the user experience of having to call the support team whenever they forget their passwords, all those bad user experiences are resolved or solved by this problem. The other one very important from Microsoft perspective was also that the solution adheres to all Microsoft security standards, compliance efforts. Like I said, the passwords up there don't have to be emailed anymore. The password reset policies follow Microsoft security standards. And basically, as you see, all the security related standards and are adhered to with this solution. And of course, we strongly believe that solution that we came up with can actually serve as a model for a lot of other SSO implementation, specifically the web SSO implementation, which is one of the big problems of the industry right now. So what's next? So if you look at it from an implementation standpoint, we have a pretty much very well set solution, which doesn't require any changes as such. But what we are looking forward to is the implementations and the enhancements on the ADFS side on the Windows Server 2008, and that would be our next step to use Windows Server 2008 in our environments for ADFS and leverage some of the new capabilities of the Web Single Sign-On that was part of Windows Server 2008. So for more information, so basically with that we come to the end of the actual presentation as to what the solution was, how we implemented it, what the best practices were, and what are some of the lessons learned. If you want more information on webcast or SSO, here are some of the links that you can go to. This manager webcast is available for viewing later. If you want information on Ping Identity, that's the website, www.pingidentity.com. If you need more information on the Active Directory Federation services and how it can help in Web Single Sign-On, the white paper that talks about that implementation. So that's all what we have for today from a presentation standpoint. Tracy?
Excellent. Thanks, Marty. I do want to remind everybody that for more information, they can print a PDF of today's session. To do that, you just want to right-click on your screen and select Print to PDF. Now's a good time to submit your questions into the Q&A pane. You just want to type them in and hit the Ask button. Also, I'm going to be posting a survey here in just a minute. If you would all please take a moment to fill that out before you log off, we do appreciate your feedback. Now, for upcoming and previously recorded webcasts, you can visit Microsoft.com/webcast. You can go here to access this webcast, which will be available for download in about 24 hours. And if you have any webcast content ideas, you'll want to follow this link here. If you have something out there you'd like to see and haven't yet, we'd love to hear from you. And now here's the survey for our session today. Please follow the links provided to complete today's webcast evaluation. And Murthy, I'll hand it back over to you to wrap up with Q&A.
Great. Thanks, Tracy. So I do see a couple of questions that have come in, so I'll try and address those. The first question I see is, how big was the development team? Well, that's an interesting question. not really a development team that the way I look at it. It's more of a project team. And it was basically spread across different geographic regions. We had two systems administrators or subject matter experts from ADP based out of Toronto. We had one subject matter expert from Ping Identity based out of Denver, Colorado. We had one Microsoft PM in Redmond. And then we had two ADFS experts or subject matter experts from Redmond. And then we had about 15 to 20 users based in Asia, in China, and Singapore. So as you can see, it was a geographically disparate team, but the best part of the implementation was none of them had to travel to any other place to actually implement the solution. The PM never had to go to Toronto or Denver. Subject matter expert from Ping Identity did never travel to Toronto. So all this was done over the phone and email, so you can see how easy the implementation was. And some of the lessons learned that I talked about earlier actually comes into play here, where you have clearly defined roles and responsibilities, communication plans. With that, it's pretty easy to implement the solution. So overall, if you look at the actual team, it was the size of 6 people spread across 3 or 4 different regions. And the second question that I see here is, was this a phase or a single rollout? That is a very interesting question. I would have to say it's both phased and single rollout. And what do I mean by that? When the solution is actually implemented from an installation of the software standpoint, so once you have the Ping Federate server installed and the software configured, once you have the ADFS server configured, it's a one-time thing. So when we did the implementation, Singapore was the only country that went live with ADP to begin with. So we had all the users from Singapore who are using the single sign-off. But as we onboard new countries, the onboarding of new countries is a phased approach. Basically, in future now we have UK, say, UK, India, China, those countries will be onboarded. But in this case, the implementation, or there is no setup or configuration that needs to be done on the ADP side, on the Ping Federate side, or the ADSF side. The only thing that needs to be done is to have the users set up in the portal site on ADP. From a single sign-on perspective, there is no other setup or configuration that needs to be done. So as we onboard more users, about 1,000 users maybe from China, 2,000 users from India, all they have to do is set up the users on ADP, and they get a seamless single sign-on. So as you can see, the maintenance cost for this solution is minimal. There is no maintenance cost required on your end. Just received another question. Is it necessary to have the Ping Federate installed on the third-party site, or can it be installed in your environment? So the straight answer to that is it can be in either place. In our case, we made a strategic decision to have ADP install the Ping Federate server on their end, since this was part of overall outsourcing solution. But it could have as well been on our side and have the Ping Federate installed and configured on along with ADFS in Microsoft. So it is definitely possible to have it on either side, but the solution still remains the same. The overall implementation still remains the same. That's all the questions I see here for now. So I'll just leave it again to see if anybody else has any questions.
Sure, Murthy, what we can go ahead and do is if we have any more questions come through the queue, we can answer them via text through the question manager.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, I do want to extend a very special thank you to you, Murthy, for your presentation today and answering all the great questions we've had come through the queue. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this will conclude today's session. I want to thank you again for joining us. You may now disconnect from the audio portion of today's presentation.
Hello. Thank you for listening to this webcast. We value your feedback, so please take a couple minutes and go to www.webcastaudio.com/survey to complete a quick evaluation. Thank you.